and friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
Hey, get in here.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. It's Lisa.
Al. Courtney.
And we are here today with David and Cassie Miller.
Hello. Good morning.
So excited to get to talk to you two. So I just want to know about you guys, how you guys first met, what you were doing in life. Maybe you were in the coffee line and you knocked his coffee over. Or, you know, I don't know. What happened? How did it go?
Meet cute is quite funny. So David was already, we're both teachers, and David was already a seasoned teacher at our local high school,
a band director. Oh, fun.
And so I am 4 years younger than him. So I ended up interviewing at a couple of schools and I picked his school. And during one of those teacher work days, I don't even remember.
Yeah, we just kind of started talking. I mean, yeah. You know, they always do the force you to get to know people.
Right. Icebreakers.
Did you guys have to climb a human ladder? Like, what was the icebreaker?
No. Unfortunately, no. We didn't have to. We didn't even get, like, trust falls. It was just such a missed opportunity. I know.
If you want to, you can coordinate that now if you need it.
We probably could. I do trust. I don't know that he should trust me. I mean, maybe I could. I don't know. But. It was entertaining because David at the time had just had Achilles tendon surgery. And so he was in a boot. And, you know, when you see someone in a boot or a cast, the first thing that comes out of your mouth is the thing that they 100% don't want to hear. I was like, oh, what happened? Like, exactly. They probably talked.
And so this was the work days before school started. So everybody was seeing everybody for the first time since the last school year. And so everybody was asking, what happened to your foot? Why are you in a boot? And so
when I asked him, you know, because I was kind of like, oh, he's cute. This is fun. I like my school already.
Can't run away either. He's right.
So when I asked him, I got he was on his way, I think, into the main office. And I got a very clipped, I heard it. And then he just went to the main office. And I just kind of stood there in the lobby. And I was like, okay, jerk, fine. I don't want to talk about your stupid boot anyway.
Yeah.
Signing conversation. That boot.
Yeah. But it is funny. I do have to share that once we were together, once we really started talking, I'm also, so my degree is in English, but I was a musician all my life and we play the same instrument, trumpet. Okay. So when we did start connecting, you know, when you're a musician in Virginia, I think band directors are like my position now, librarians. We just have this cohort that always stays in touch. Yes. So David and I started putting two and two together and we realized we were in a lot of the same places at the same time, but it was just two different seasons of our life.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, when I went to band camp for learning how to be a good section leader in marching band as a student in high school, he was there as a college student as a camp counselor, but we never crossed
paths.
He
wanted to hit on you,
but he couldn't.
You caught the camp counselor.
I know. I did. I know. And then one of my favorite, this is my favorite though, is we did the math and I was, I guess, invited or encouraged to audition for Virginia Tech's honor band when I was in high school. Like they do a nice little thing for high school kids. And David was auditioning trumpets that year, but it's behind a screen. So he 100% auditioned me. And I did get a good seat in that. I earned it. Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of a really shortened version of how we met. And it was fast. Like we started talking in August. Dating like soon after, right? And he proposed in December and we were married in June. So
awesome.
When you know, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I was gonna wait a little longer, but I just, you know.
Yeah.
I had the ring and it was burning a hole in my pocket.
Oh yeah.
Actually, I want to go back, David, when she asked you about your foot and you were so clipped, what did you think of her when you first saw her?
Yeah.
So And she'll tell you, when I am on a mission, I'm like singularly focused on, and it was a teacher work day. I'm sure I had a list. I was going down the to-do list in my head. And so it was very much a hyper-focused on the mission at the moment. I did, you know, to my credit, I did realize what a jerk I was after the fact.
He did. And
I was trying to smooth that over.
Yeah, I would hope you had to smooth that over.
When did you kind of notice her and say, whoa, this person is amazing?
I mean, so not that I'm always checking people out of school at teacher work days, but I mean, I guess, when I first saw her, she was a new face. And so, you know, we don't always get a lot of new faces. A lot of the teachers, you know, stay there. And so we don't
back have then. Now it's different. Right. Yeah. Turnover's a lot different now in education.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, she was cute and she was a band person. And so I was like, all right, well, this is interesting.
Yeah. Two out.
So we really started talking about band. I think officially, like I said, you know,
yeah.
But it was very much a back and forth about band and, hey, you should come to the football game and hang with the band and that kind of thing.
And that was something. Let me tell you, I was sitting with teacher friends and my brother played high school football. And again, I was a band person. So I love going to football games, whether I'm watching as a spectator or being in the marching band. But I watched the band walk up and I'm watching David standing in the front as band directors do, because in football games, you know, they're there, but it's really your drum major and, you know, the kids should be able to be in charge for the most part. So I'm watching and some of the teachers next to me are like, go, Cassie, go. And I'm like, that's awkward. What am I going to do? Walk? This is like a Cinderella story in reverse, Chad Michael Murray, like I'm walking down. It's just weird. So I really had to find a way to like get up and walk down and over in front of the student section. And, you know, and then I'm standing next to him. And of course, the entire band is behind us in the risers. And they're immediately like,
whoa.
And I was like, well, here we go.
And then it just caught on. Like kids I didn't even know, because I was a new teacher. And new teachers usually get saddled with like freshmen and sophomores. Hmm. But a lot of his upperclassmen would just randomly like walk by my classroom and kind of look at me and then just go away, checking up on me, making sure I'm a good fit for their band.
I love that they were so protective of you.
Yeah. Truly. Like it was comical. The entire school was involved in this, I guess. It's not often you have two teachers in the same building. So
yeah.
So it was romance in front of them.
Totally. Yeah, they got to watch the love story.
What was their was their reaction when they found out you guys were engaged?
My students flipped. But I don't remember what the band kids, because I mean, it's different for you.
I don't know. Like I never really told them.
Yeah.
And so I guess they just kind of found out on their own. And so I never saw their reaction really.
I love that so much. I mean, this is bringing me flashbacks. When my daughter was in middle school, same thing. There was a teacher's, they were like falling in love, and she would come home every day and give me the breakdown. And at the end of the school year at the talent show, they proposed.
No.
And it was like the highlight of her year.
Of course. She's going to remember that always and probably write a book about it someday, as she should.
I think we're pretty
I know, it's so fun.
I think we were pretty discreet about it. It was a lot more, it was a lot less of look at that and a lot more of even the staff.
True.
Oh, we should get those two together.
Yeah. And then we were like, actually, we're already talking, but thanks.
Everybody wanted to like have an in. That makes so much sense, because you write these high schoolers so well in your
thank
book.
You.
Yeah. So it was like, she's really got this down. And even just the dynamic of, I can tell I like your guys' teaching styles is very, I trust the students to rise to the occasion, and then they do. And so, that's just that makes so much more sense to me now on your character development, because it's great. You do a wonderful job with it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. That means a lot. Thank you.
So how did you come across and how did you come up with the theme of your story, and how did that develop for you?
So for my story, I I think once I really knew the stories that I wanted to tell stories about kids who are either overlooked or underestimated, I've always been drawn to those kinds of stories. And I think it's just because when I think about my favorite movies growing up as a 90s kid, you know, we like the Goonies and we love the Sandlot and I love Now and Then. And so it's like, bring me those characters that someone just kind of ignores until they do something awesome. And they're like, oh, where did they come from? And no, they've always been here. So I knew I wanted to write a really good underdog story. And I knew I wanted to tell, it had to be dual point of view. I don't think there was ever any question that I had to have Reed and Eliza both on the page. And I wanted to show that you can have kids that have a lot going on that aren't just a one trick pony, because those are the kids that David and I teach. You know, we have a lot of students who are not just athletes or aren't just theater kids. They do both. And so it was important for me to show that, because I think oftentimes high school kids get branded as just fitting in with that one niche. And that's not the kid that I was. That's not the kid that David was. We were both athletes in high school. We were both musicians in high school. And our boys are both, you know, doing music and sports. So I really wanted to showcase complex characters. And the most important thing, I think, for me with my stories that you're going to see moving forward is I really love multiple generations. I love having the extended family involved, because that was also a huge part of our lives. Was, you know, and I know David and I talk about this a lot. He was very blessed where he lived for several years that he could just literally drive immediately right over to his grandparents' house. So he had a super strong relationship with his grandparents, and it was the same for me. So I did want to show that impact of those multiple generations and what they have on our teens.
Well, you do that even with Eliza, like when she honors her grandparents, like by driving the older car instead of the newer car. And, you know, like they both are sentimental, and it rounds out their characters nicely, and it gives them another connection where you're like, oh, okay, that fits. So,
that's so sweet.
And it's really sweet.
I kind of want to know, I'm guessing that as you were writing this book and coming up with the premise for that, like, did you say, hey, David, what do you think of this? What do you think of that?
Yeah,
I did. I did pitch a lot of things by him for sure. This story, Meet Me Under the Lights, took a long time to get to the page because I was writing it pre-COVID. We were trying to pitch it to editors during COVID, and a lot of stuff was just quiet. So, you know, by the time David read the book, so much had changed from those early drafts too. So that was kind of fun to see him. You know, I wasn't trying to be that creeper on the other couch in the living room, but I was. And it was the same with my boys reading it, because my boys, we have a 14-year-old and an almost 12-year-old, and neither of them had read YA romance before, or romance in general. They're more into the fantasy and the mysteries. So listening to them chuckle, and, you know, with David too, and kind of making these connections, I was like, oh,
So David, what did you think of the premise? Did you say, oh, wow, this is really like hitting home for me?
So these kind of books are not my kind of books. I am totally like fantasy, sci-fi, like that's maybe, you know, politics, but not young adult romance. So at first, honestly, I was trying to be as supportive as possible without understanding how this is so interesting. But what she was writing about, I thought, was right up her alley, because, she's a huge baseball fan. She's always been into musical theater, and you know, at the high school we taught at together, she was always involved behind the scenes, doing lights and that kind of stuff with our shows. And so, I mean, if she was going to write about something, that I was like, you can talk about this all day long. So, And then, when I read the book, I mean, I love the book. And I've never read any kind of romance book, let alone young adult. And I enjoyed it. So proud of her.
Cassie, I'm interested. Have you always wanted to write a book? And how did this book sort of come to you, the storyline? And
I think I've been writing stories for as long as I can remember.
Usually when I was a kid, it was just short stories. And then I really got into poetry. So I was writing a lot of poetry and did a lot of that in college. But I really didn't start writing seriously until after our oldest was born. I had this idea for like a post-apocalyptic story. Must have been maybe some postpartum things going on. I don't know. But I wrote this post-apocalyptic story that was just completely shot up with plot holes. But, you know, doing that and seeing, wow, I wrote like K plus words, I can do this. And then I just, you know, it took me a couple of years to really find this story. And it was more like, it was this wake up of, duh, Cassie, you need to write a baseball story. What are you doing? You love baseball. You know the sport. I watched my brother play it growing up. I watched my father coach it. And like one of my favorite places to be is a ballpark. Like I'm so happy in a ballpark. So I knew I needed to do that. And with theater, something fun about David and I is when we were first together, he asked me, this was when we were engaged. This was before we got married. In the spring, he was like, you know, I need another trumpet player for the pit orchestra for Beauty and the Beast. Was it Beauty and the Beast or it might have been Seussical? It was Seussical. And it was, he was like, I need another trumpet player. And I was like, sure. And I hadn't played trumpet in years. And the Seussical book was so hard. I was like, okay. I'm proving myself here. But that I was so thankful for that opportunity because it also got me working with the choir director, who's one of his best friends, and she became one of mine. And so we call ourselves the dream team. We kind of formed this unit, and there's a guidance counselor at our school at the time who was a former dancer. So she was our choreographer. So we just became this amazing square of people that just kept doing musicals together. And I think I accidentally inserted myself so much in like director things. Like, what if we block it here? That naturally they were like, you should direct the next year's one. I was like, okay, sure. They were like, it's Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God.
So working with the theater and watching these kids really brought back this amazing sequence of memories of growing up with my grandparents on my mom's side, her parents. They owned a costume shop in New York. And I have forgotten the joy of watching seamstresses and props being made and sets being made. And that's when I was like, you know what? I don't see books like this on the shelf. I see a lot of stories about people who are on the stage, but not people who are behind the scenes. And they work so hard.
Yeah.
So when I started spending time in the booth, because I dabble and I wanted to learn how to do a light board, and I am not an electric techie person, but my father was, and one of our dear friends, Bo Newcomb, was. And so I just immersed myself in lighting. And that's when Eliza's story kind of came to me. I realized I could totally tell a story about a kid who loves the spotlight, who wants to be in it, and a kid who doesn't want it, but who loves making other people shine. So
yeah, I love that. And that kind of ties in the title, you know.
Yeah, exactly. It is a play.
Well, and I also liked it because I just liked your characters because, you know, Eliza, I just love how they both had a place in the relationship. And it wasn't that her job was just to always support people. He noticed, he's like, oh my gosh, your lighting effect on this scene, is that what you're going to use when, you know, they're dying, you know, and just different things. Like, he's like, that adds so much emotion. So I really love that the background people were also super appreciated. It was sort of like, oh, that was really neat.
Thank you.
Well done.
I love that you showed that side of Reed for sure.
Yeah.
I am curious, like writing this, if you were going to say your relationship was a trope, because this wasn't enemies to lovers. I mean, there were a lot of tropes, you know, but what would you say?
Yeah, your guys' relationship. To tell you, he's going to hate me for this. But when David and I were looking at the questions, he was like, wait, what is a trope? And I was like, oh my gosh, have a seat. I was just going through all of them and I was like being ridiculous and like only one bed and this and this. It was fun. I think we were definitely, we're friends to lovers. Like, it was an easy friendship. And he and I had both, ironically, before we met, just got out of really not good relationships that were pretty toxic. So, and we're both Catholic. We're both very big in our faith. So I think we just kind of knew it was God's timing and we were meant to find each other. And that's why it was such a fast and easy thing for us to pick up, because it was
literally first date, sitting across from him having sushi. And I had never eaten sushi before, but I wanted to be tough and like show him that I could do it. It was terrible. Chopsticks and I do not work.
Neither. I still fork
it. No one has time for that. Like, if you can do it, that's great. I can't. A mad respect. Yeah. But I, you know, I just remember he and I just looking at each other across the table. And ironically, we both got in our cars. Why were we driving?
We had driven separately.
Oh, yeah.
We had decided. Yes, she likes to go karaoke. And so we had decided she had some friends that were going to karaoke. And so we were going to go meet them there. So we both got in our respective cars. And apparently we both had the same idea. We were on the phone with our parents immediately.
We both called our moms. And I was like, I think. Is it crazy if I think like this is the one? Like I've known him for a few weeks, but I swear, and like he was making the same phone call, and he went to karaoke, and like he's a band teacher, but when you're around music all day, the last thing you want in the evening is to have more noise. So again,
especially you know, people winner. Like who you know, they're there because they love music, and but yeah. they may, you know they're learning.
Yeah,
their pitch might be.
Yeah,
that's fun.
I love it. So these are two elements that I've always felt like if you are friends first, mm-hmm. like that's the golden ticket.
Yeah.
And if you can talk to your mom and get her stamp of approval, you're solid. So you guys have a lot going for you for sure.
Yes, we're big fans of friends to lovers.
Yes.
Every
yes.
time we review a book or a story, like, we think.
Did they develop the friendship?
Yes.
Like fully?
Yes. Is it going to last? Yes, they were friends to lovers first.
So. Yes.
Yes. And it's fun, I think, too. Some of my favorite romances, too, are to watch them become closer friends while they're also realizing maybe they can't just be friends, like, you know, so I love yeah. seeing that friendship develop. And I think that's how it was for us, especially because we got married having not even known each other a full year. So a lot of our early years, we were still getting to know each other on that level. I think a lot of people get, you know, they move in together first and both. They're together yes. years in a physical sense before they actually get married. And so it was fun for David and I, especially before the boys were born, to just kind of have that time to even develop that friendship even more for sure.
And I like the characters in your book too, Eliza and Reed. They were friends before, like as yes. children.
Yes.
And
yes.
so they kind of had that, I don't know, that established friendship and liked each other already.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, it was kind of a little tension when they met again mm-hmm. 4 years later. Yeah.
Because it was the Montagues and the Capulets.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Their families were enemies. So it was
of
like,
course.
But they be friends.
Yeah, but they couldn't help but be friends because yeah. they'd already established that mm-hmm. relationship, which right. I love that.
And I love the coming of age aspects in it as well, too, yeah. because, you know, you have these characters who were dealing with their family situations, but then they were also owning who they were. And they were, I really liked how both of your characters yeah. stayed true to themselves. Like they didn't lose themselves in the relationship. And I think that that's one of the most important things that we need to learn as people mm-hmm. when we're starting to have relationships. It's like, if you want to have a relationship that's going to last forever, you need to be self-actualized.
Yes.
And I really liked how you showed these kids yeah. still being true to themselves.
Yes.
And, you know, learning who they were on a genuine level.
Thank you.
As they were developing a relationship together. And I yeah. thought that was such yeah. a good thing for kids to yeah. see.
Yes.
Yes. You can be your authentic
yes,
self.
Yes, you can be your authentic yeah. and you can be
and you don't. Yep. And you don't have to give up. For me, it was I did not want to write a story where they gave up their dreams. There was a hot second where I had considered, I don't know if you guys remember the movie Summer Catch with Freddie Prinze Jr. It was like wow. Jessica Biel. So it was a horribly cheesy movie, but it did give me some of the inspiration behind Meet Me Under the Lights because it was a Cape Cod minor league summer romance between the two of them. And there is a class difference between Jessica Biel's character. She comes from money, and Freddie Prinze Jr. is the local mm-hmm. boy whose dad does lawn maintenance and he does not have money. But he leaves, spoiler, if you have not seen Summer Catch, mute me for
I know.
He leaves his championship game when he's pitching a no-hitter, a no-no, to go and see her. And for a second, I had considered that. And I was like, I almost like slapped myself. I was like, no, Cassie. Like, no. And I don't want to send that message to teens. Like, she and I deliberately did that. Her opening night had to be the same as his championship game. There was no moving that. They had to have their own moment so that they could then have their moment. And I think it's important that teens see that, because there is a trend that I know, and you can, because I'm in the elementary library now, so I'm a little more removed than David, but it seems to me like we're seeing a trend more with these kids getting in relationships, and it becomes so all-consuming that they don't know how to function without the other person. Yeah. And I don't want to write those kinds of stories. Yeah.
And,
you know?
And I think a lot of the time people feel like, oh, I have to give myself up to prove that I love you. And and that's not true.
Absolutely
not. That's not healthy.
I'm curious, what surprised you about these characters as you were writing them?
Yeah, how did they evolve for you?
Oh, that's a good one. As far as what surprised me, I would say read the complex relationship with his grandparents. I really enjoyed writing that. I didn't expect to enjoy that as much. I thought that it would be more seamless, him and his grandparents. And even though you don't see it on the page, I think you can feel the tension in the air, the frustration that he has, that his grandfather can't let it go. And so that kind of surprised me, writing that bit. I think with Eliza, what surprised me the most was the evolution of her relationship with her dad. I knew I wanted her dad. Yeah, I knew I wanted her dad to come around, but I didn't expect it to come around so nicely the way that it did.
Okay.
You know, David and I were talking about this the other day. David read the dad very much as a character who... Go ahead.
Yeah, she didn't talk about it with me at all, what her intention was or any of that, until after I read the book. And so I totally read the dad as trying to give Reed's father an out that was not like a handout. I saw him as being charitable without trying to come across as charitable, you know, giving him a chance to earn the park instead of it being given to him, even though, Liza's father knew they needed it a lot more than he did. So that's how it read to me.
And I kind of liked that.
Yeah.
So that was a surprise for me. I think Eliza's dad, those secondary characters may have surprised me a little bit more than the primary characters, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm also curious as to the best friends, TJ and Lauren. They're both very different people than Reed and Eliza. And their characters were interesting in how they played a part in the story also.
Yeah.
Well, and at that age, like, that's your friends play such a huge role your life.
Yep.
That you have,
and
those.
That felt relatable to me too, because even within my core friend group, you know, we had that thing in common. We were all band kids, right? But there was always that one. So it really was something like out of a movie when I think of my core friend group. We were all in marching band together, and so that was our foundation. But one of us was a competitive cheerleader. She loved the spotlight. You know, another one was more into the theater and the writing. A couple of us were soccer players together, and a couple of us were just quiet academics. And so I think it's fun to show that, you know, I think what makes the best of friends are the ones who are balanced. So Lauren loving the spotlight, being out there, and having Eliza support her. And Lauren's kind of that one saying, yeah, Eliza, you can play behind the scenes, but don't let people think you don't have a part worthy of recognition. I really wanted to show that. And TJ was always one of my favorite characters. And it became this running joke with my agent, who's very editorial. So every time we were going through stuff, she always wanted more TJ. And I know. And so we were always like, more TJ, more TJ, more cowbell. And so it became this thing of when my editor, Dana, got it, Anne and I were both kind of like in the back, like, if she messes with TJ, if she makes me that character or something, it will not work. Like, TJ was always meant to be the Tybalt, the loose cannon. But I wanted him to also have that softer side. You just don't always see it. You have to earn it. So
Yeah.
Jay's fun.
Yeah, and he was really wonderful.
And Ben, too, was very complex.
Yeah.
Also, Ben, that was Reed's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben was something. Ben, you know, it's funny. I was telling David this the other day. The amount of people that are putting in their reviews, I need a story for Ben ASAP. I'm like, really? You want a Ben story? I don't know that I want to write a Ben story. Yeah. I would write a TJ story and I would write a Lauren story. I don't know. Ben's a complex character. He's got a lot of trauma that he's dealing with. And again, I thought it important to show that. I know I had some readers who were not a fan of the fact that there was some drinking and smoking and such, but it's summer, it's baseball.
That's what teenagers do. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Yeah, I liked that you kind of said, hey, you know, there's some bad effects from that. Like,
yeah, mm-hmm.
You definitely suffered because of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it didn't help him get through his hard times. It made his hard times a lot worse.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I did try to be realistic with that. Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe listener or your readers are interested in him having a resolution. Maybe
Yes, I could see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that.
So I'm curious. Like, I love the Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Juliet aspect. Yes. I loved the play Romeo and Juliet. I loved how that was like what they were producing for the summer play, and that you also had that mirroring the families, because that was definitely a huge theme. What kind of message do you hope to convey about, you know, kids in the situation when they feel trapped by their families and their expectations? Yeah, what do you hope your readers walk away with?
I think one of the most important things I want my readers to understand is that when you feel trapped, especially by your family, you have to remember that you're not alone. You can still have family outside of your family. And that's why I thought it was important to show baseball and theater, because with sports, you do form that sisterhood, that brotherhood. But theater kids, thespians, are in a league of their own when it comes to family. And David can tell you, with probably an eye roll, like when we would finish a show, a lot of the kids would literally sit on the stage after the sets have come down, and they're just sobbing and they're holding each other. And they're literally, it's like being on the carnival grounds after everything gets rolled up. They're just despondent. They don't know how to do it. So I think, you know, if a reader finds themselves in that same position where they're feeling pressured by their family to do something, I never want them to feel like they have to suffer alone. I think they need to lean on those friendships, or maybe even those multiple generations. Maybe their parents aren't where they want to be, but maybe they have a cousin or an uncle or an aunt or a grandparent who sees it differently. You know, I think there was a part in the book, and when I was listening to the audiobook, I had forgotten that I wrote it. And when she read it, when Jesse Valinsky read it, I was just crying in my car. But I had forgotten that I wrote the scene about Reed's grandmother always had phone conversations with Eliza's grandmother every Sunday. And after Eliza's grandmother had passed, Reed's grandmother called just to check on Eliza. She called Eliza to check on her. And so for me, that, you know, Romeo and Juliet is great. Everybody knows it. It's the go-to enemies to lover. But the one weakness I find in it is you really don't know. We never know what caused the feud between the Montagues and the Capulets, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to write something that showed that complexity, to show readers that, you know, something, just because it's always been that way doesn't mean it will always be that way. We can hope for a resolution of some sort, hopefully peacefully.
Yeah, I loved that it wasn't a tragedy.
No, heavens no.
Thanks. Yeah. Well, especially because, you know, you see the themes and stuff, and then there's some tragedy starting to happen, and you're like, no!
That's literally all, like, every bad thing that happened, you can blame my agent and Rose. I'm totally calling her out. I would make it so much easier. Right? Yeah. Percent. She's like, nope, burn it down. Nope, do this. Mm-mm, nope, too easy. I'm like, okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, you think it is such a tragedy that the theater does burn, but what comes out of that is amazing. And I love that twist. Yeah.
Really brought people together.
Yeah, it did.
I can tell. I love knowing that you guys are teachers too, especially because the trust that the director like just put in her. I mean, she was like, "Hey, I'm holding you accountable. I'm checking in with you. Are you going to rise to the occasion? Or are you not going to rise to the occasion? Just like be level with me." And I can tell. I just think I love how you guys teach.
That's drawn from him. I was lucky enough when we were first together that, you know, David realized, hey, I'm married to someone who loves marching band and who can still do it. And she might actually be more of a hard ass than I am on the field. So I'm going to put her out on the field and let her be the mean one. And hey, she'll be bad cop and I'm good cop for once. But I learned so much watching him. And it was the same with, I had a couple of really good band directors too, the trust that they put in their section leaders, mm-hmm. because there is a chain of command, but he really wants his kids to learn how to problem solve before they come to the adults. So that's a big thing that he does with teaching leadership to his kids. Yeah,
that's such an essential part of growing up is being trusted and learning to trust yourself. So giving them that gift is huge.
And allowing them to make mistakes and like, okay, well, we'll let you make this mistake. We can, you know, and then how do we get through fixing it? You know, like, am I getting fired because there's the blueberry muffins on the table and the coffee? You know? It's just you, well played out.
Yeah. Well, so written. I have another question, and I want both David and Cassie's input on this because, you know, we always like to analyze our characters. So if Eliza and Reed fast forward 10 years and if they were to have met as adults, do you think that their relationship would have worked?
I think a lot of what brought them back together was the familiarity they had already had with each other earlier in their lives, like you had said before. And maybe with more distance between that, would it? I don't know.
I kind of feel the same way. I think, could they have formed a friendship as adults? Yes. I think they would have had a couple of things in common. Like, I wonder, okay, so let's flash forward. Eliza dreamily is working on Broadway. Reed is a New York Yankee. Let's go. Let's dream big.
Yeah.
When would they meet? They would meet in one of the corner bagel shops and they mix up their orders and, you know, I don't know. Like, it could be, I think they could meet as adults. I don't know. I think it could work, but I bet it would have to be, it would be a more complex thing for sure as far as what I think they both want in life. Mm-hmm. So I think their timing was more appropriate as teens. I'd like to think that they worked through.
I think that because of the family dynamics, and I think because Reed and Eliza were able to, I don't think the family dynamics would have been fully resolved if it weren't for Reed and Eliza helping the adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
So if that had never happened, maybe as adults, those resentments would have grown even deeper between the families. And it just would have been more difficult to rekindle a friendship even.
But I think the reason that it works so well, mm-hmm. and my biggest take home, and I don't know if this is the take home, I'll ask you what you wanted your biggest take home to be. But my biggest take home with yours was, you know, when you're talking about young love, like young love can move forward into life. But I think the most important thing about it is respect yourself and self-actualize. And if you can't self-actualize in the relationship, or you can't be willing to allow, you know, okay, well, if we do have to be apart to come back together again, you know, if you can't self-actualize in the relationship, and I don't care if you're a teenager or a 20-year-old or a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old, then you're not going to be happy.
Yes, you nailed it.
That whole concept, because the feels are real if you're, you know, I'm sorry, when you fall in love, the feels are real when you're 17, just as real as they are when you're 25 or 35.
Those hormones go different.
Yeah, the chemicals are all the same. And the feels are real, but I'm so happy that you're telling them the really important thing, because I don't think people are telling kids the really important thing, which is, I respect your feelings, I respect where you are, I respect your capacities, I respect you growing. You have to respect those things, and you need to self-actualize. You need to go to your opening night when he goes to his big game.
Yes.
And then come back, because if you guys can't do that, you won't. Your love won't make it, because you're not self-absorbed.
You're going to resent. You're going to grow to resent.
Well, and I don't think that either of them should put away what they've worked so hard for.
Absolutely.
Just for that. You know, we, again, to kind of go back, when you grow up with rom-coms of, you know, someone moving to a totally different state or a different country, you know, and dropping everything, that's beautiful. But also, what message is that sending? That it's so easy for you to pick up and leave everything behind.
And then you're showing that you love, but Those yeah, don't tend myth, to work out.
That myth that compromise is essential in a relationship right. is false. We
too
have to
much
figure out
compromise.
How to support each other
yes.
in what our dreams are.
Yes.
And that's yeah. how you and it's, and I think showing yeah. too that it's not easy. I know in romance, a lot of people are not a fan of what's called a third act breakup. But I think if you're writing romance, it's really important, even if they don't officially break up, there needs to be conflict. If
yes.
not, it's just not, to me, that's not realistic. I need
it doesn't
conflict.
Show growth.
Exactly.
No, no.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be like super sad, like Nicholas Sparks, but it has to, we yeah. have to have some form of conflict
for yeah. sure.
So and not necessarily like in real life that you had to like, I mean, you guys probably didn't have a third stage conflict, but you guys probably in your courting, you guys probably had moments where you're like, okay, how are we going to resolve issues together? How are we going to,
sure,
you know? And so even if you don't necessarily have our families are going to, you know, both have terrible things happen. So one of us has to lose, even if you don't have anything yeah. as big as what happened to these kids, you still have events that arise in a relationship and how you deal with it is super important to the
yeah.
relationship.
How a couple works through things is very important.
Oh, yeah. And when you, something similar, I think, between Reed and Eliza and with David and me is we're both extremely type A stubborn people. So it's what we grew up with, too. Like, I vividly remember listening to my grandparents argue and my parents argue, but it was never mean. It was like their love language was was arguing. But that's just like, when we argue, it's not out of meanness. It's
yes.
more just like pushing buttons because it's fun or, you know, just, I don't
you
know.
Instruments. So, you know, yeah. you're good at pushing buttons.
We are very good.
Like, that's good. At least the three. Just kidding. Oh. So any last words of encouragement for readers or writers of romance
sure.
as you've gone through this experience?
Yeah, I would say for readers of romance, you know, we read romance for the same reason we watch it. We just love being along for the ride and we love that heart hug. And with my Christmas romance that comes out in October, David very mercifully allowed me to watch a slew of Hallmark Christmas movies and so many Christmas movies this past
that was
year.
Fine, David.
That was so yeah.
Oh, yeah. He enjoyed it. He was like, what are we watching today? And I'm like, well, today we're going to be taking a trip to a small town. She's from the big city. I don't know if they're going to make it. But, you know, it's all
to save the world.
Yeah. It was all fuel. And it's a good time. But mm-hmm. I think with readers of romance, it's just, you know, you just remember why you picked up the book and don't feel guilty about it. I think oftentimes when people hear and see that you're reading romance, they just kind of like roll their eyes like you do you read it, you know, if you want to read romance because it makes you feel good, but screw everybody else, read it.
Yeah, read romance.
And right, and for writers of romance, I'm gonna say I have advice for writers who write for teens. My biggest pet peeve, because I read a lot of YA and middle grade books and even adult books, is know your audience. Nothing's a more telltale sign for me as someone who doesn't work with teens or interacts with teens than their character development or the voice on the page. So if you're going to write for teens, I hope you're taking the time to actually interact with teens, whether you're a parent, which is great, and you've got, you know, friends, their friends over at your house all the time, or you're in education like we are. I just happen to be fortunate enough that I'm surrounded by them all the time as a mom and as a teacher. And I know not everybody is privileged to have that. But I think for me, it's made a world of difference. There's the voices in my head that can't let go. So whatever you choose to write audience-wise, I would make sure that you immerse yourself in it.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, I think you do a great job with that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
I very much enjoyed reading your book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So well done.
Yeah, and now I'm really excited about your upcoming book.
Yes.
Can
yes.
you tell us a little bit about that? Or
and how you can get a hold of them.
Yeah.
Like, find you.
David's,
all that.
I mean,
David's really
excited
about this next one.
She's in a
non-stocky way.
I mean, what's the address?
No. You got her.
I was like,
so my next book is called Meet Me on Mistletoe Lane. Okay. And it is a, you want, I want you to think of it as your favorite cheesy Hallmark Christmas movie meets My Big Fat Greek Wedding, but with Italians.
Oh, so okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it comes out in October, and it's basically the story of a girl named Gianna Mancini, who lives in a small town with her entire family, including a very nosy busybody Nona, who loves to try to push people on her and her single mother.
I love the matchmaker characters. Oh,
right? And so basically the main part of the story is that in this town, they have this year-round farmer's market, and the owner of the market unexpectedly passes away, and then it becomes this chaos of, what are we going to do? We can't lose this market. We don't want a Trader Joe's or a Starbucks in here. Ew. Like, this is our small town. We have to protect it. And in comes this hoity-toity Scrooge-like lawyer from New York City who brings his son with him. Just as Gianna and her best friend Sam are starting to maybe move out of the friend zone, suddenly we have this love triangle between New York boy and local boy. Amidst all of this unexpected chaos of, we don't know who's going to own the market during the busiest Christmassy time of year.
Oh, very excited. That sounds really gay.
This should be our Christmas.
Right. Yeah, I think so too.
I know, we love to do a holiday book.
Well, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So much Christmas, like every possible thing you can think of, and I'm really went heavy on the calm for the rom-com. So there's a lot of humor with this one too. You can ask him as I was drafting it. I'm just chuckling out.
And oh, that makes it sound
fun. So fun.
Well, awesome. And then what's your social media account?
Easy. Follow me on Instagram at Cassie Miller Writes. I would love to interact with you.
It's as you would expect it to be spelt, correct?
Yes. No space marks, just my first name and Miller and Writes.
Not a K.
Yep, with a C, yes.
Yes, I love it. Well, it's been such a pleasure to talk to
you. Totally, we're really
Thank you for you know, encouraging teens to self-actualize. I really, really appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you.
And I mean, I can see it in the two of you.
Yes.
In your own love story. So congratulations to both.
Thank you so much for joining us. It's so fun to talk to you.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. It's really neat.
It was fun.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes. Well, thank you for listening, everyone. I'll include all this good stuff in the show notes.
Excellent. Yeah. Love it. Thank you, guys.